Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. In the most recent report card on premature births, Florida gets a C. Overall, the preterm birth rate has increased in the U.S. for the first time in 8 years. The organization dedicated to ending premature births is March of Dimes. Today, I'm talking to a local mother of three boys, Casey Clark. Casey has had more than one preterm birth, so she spent some time in the NICU, and she's sharing part of her journey with us today. Casey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Tell me about your experience with March of Dimes.
Well, I actually have two NICU babies. My first NICU baby is not a true preemie. He was born about 3 weeks early, but he was in the NICU due to some blood sugar issues. So I was kind of familiar with the March of Dimes when he was in the NICU, just because anytime you're a NICU parent, you see the little symbols and all the little handouts that they have. But then when I had my youngest son, whose name is Carter, he was born 7 weeks early. And interestingly enough, our two NICU babies were only 19 months apart. So our NICU team was the same team both times. So when I came into the NICU the second time, I don't think you ever really feel like a veteran of the NICU. I don't know if that's really possible, but I definitely remembered everything and knew what we were doing. I had the same team, which was very comforting. And that time I did have a true premature baby. And so then I started really picking up the pamphlets, really thinking about it. And he was born in November. And so by the time he started to get a little bit older, then I wanted to get involved with the walk that they have. And last year it was the end of April, I believe. So we did the walk and our family team raised some money. And then I just wanted to get more and more involved and help other families that were going through the same roller coaster that is the NICU.
So how was your experience with your first child and your second child different?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, my first one, even though he was not a true preemie, he was actually in a little bit more danger than my premature baby. My premature baby was actually a whopping 6.5-pounder at almost 2 months early. So maybe it was a blessing that he came a little early. He would have been a big boy. So he really only needed to start feeding on his own. Apparently, that sucking reflex is one of the later things that you kind of develop in utero. So that was the biggest thing for him. He wasn't really in much danger. We were just really anxious to get him home. And for a while, we were a little nervous that he may not be home by Christmas. And that was important to me as a mom. I really wanted him home by Christmas, which he just barely made it. So that was great. But my first had some blood sugar issues, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And his levels kept spiking and dipping and spiking, and that can be pretty dangerous. So he was actually the one that was in more danger, and we had a lot of tests run with him and things like that. But my Carter, my youngest one, he was just getting stronger. That was the only thing we were worried about with him, just getting that eating, which he has certainly overcome now.
So tell me about your two sons now.
Okay, I actually have three. My oldest is named Braden, and he came 2 weeks early, but he didn't have any problems. He just came straight home. Christopher is my middle son, and he was born just about 3 weeks early. He was the one that had some blood sugar issues. And with all of those issues, we found out that he had encephalopathy. And encephalopathy, the best way that I've had it described to me is that it's almost like a bruise on your brain. And his only affected the motor functions in his body, which is, you know, a bit of a blessing. So it doesn't affect any of his cognitive or anything like that. But he did begin physical therapy and occupational therapy at about a month old. And he did physical and occupational therapy twice a week for about 2 years. And so his physical milestones were behind. He was behind in crawling, behind in walking. And now our newest hurdle is that you don't think about it, but to speak requires, they told me something like, I'm probably getting this number wrong, but something like 70 muscles to speak, because your lips and your tongue and your mouth and your cheeks. And so if you have a muscular problem, then that's going to affect that. So he's walking and running and climbing and all of that's wonderful, but he's a little bit behind on that speech. So now we're in speech therapy working on that. But right now they're telling us that he has had such a wonderful team in the NICU and after the NICU that they expect by the time he's 4 or 5 years old that nobody would even notice that he's had any issues.
And how old is he now?
He is 2.5 now.
He's 2.5.
He is, and he is another big guy. They expect him to be 6'7", and he is running all over the place and full of energy. And then my youngest, Carter, has really had no issues. It was amazing. He has had, once he has come home, he has hit all of his physical milestones. He has, you know, he's nice and big. He's right where he should be. The only thing we've noticed is at a year old, he still has no teeth. But they don't tell us that has anything to do with the NICU. I think that's just one of those things.
You know, let's first of all go back to Christopher.
Sure.
So he's 2.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying the terrible twos that I hear about?
You know, he has just started with those terrible twos. And my Christopher is my drama queen. He definitely learned a little bit of that terrible twos behavior from my oldest, so from his older brother. And Christopher tends to be a little dramatic. Christopher is very black and white. He is either very, very happy or really mad. So we are definitely working through those terrible twos with him.
In your experience working with March of Dimes and, like you said, dealing with the NICU, what dangers do you know that threaten a child that's born prematurely?
Well, the wonderful thing about the March of Dimes is that they have done so much to help with raising money for research and things like that, which has made a huge difference. Years ago, children that were born premature had a higher risk of cerebral palsy, of developmental delays, cognitive delays. But with the research that the March of Dimes and other programs have done, those have really lowered drastically. Most babies that are born between 34, 37 weeks, something like that, are able to go home and no one would ever even notice. So under 34 weeks is when they're telling us you're pretty much for sure going to have some of a NICU stay. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you will even notice anything later on. A lot of times they do have a little bit of that delay, but these babies are, they're fighters and they are used to that fighting in the NICU. And I think that that helps them overcome these problems pretty quickly.
Would you attribute the fact that they're fighters, one, to their parents and also to the personnel in the NICU that takes care of them?
For sure. Absolutely. I think that, you know, we've heard so many times, you know, send people good vibes and cuddle with babies and things like that. And I think that these little guys feel that there are a whole team of people around them that are fighting for them, that are loving on them. And I think that that definitely plays into it. And they do, you know, they have it right away. They have to fight from the very beginning. And I think that that does kind of subconsciously play into them. And another kind of odd thing that I've noticed is other NICU parents that I've talked to, it seems that NICU babies tend to be better sleepers. I know that my two NICU babies are much better sleepers once they came home. So I think that a lot of that kind of plays into their personalities as they get older.
Tell me about some of the other things that you've learned about premature births and how they can be prevented.
Okay. Well, I know, you know, the things that most of us know, good prenatal care is really important. Keeping your an eye on your weight so that we're not getting into gestational diabetes, things like that. The big ones are, of course, no smoking, alcohol use, things like that. That plays into it. Some other things that I learned for us personally in our walk is if you have a history of other premature births or early births, that it does raise your chances. So like none of my boys made it to 40 weeks. My first two were not considered premature because they, you know, we're at just 2 weeks early or just 3 weeks early. But each one of mine got earlier and earlier. I had a 2 week early, a 3 week early, and then an almost 8 week early. So if you have a history of premature labor, then you need to keep an eye on that and talk to your doctor. Another thing that they tell you, which sadly we did not follow through on is if you can wait at least 18 months between pregnancies, that seems to lower your chances of premature birth. My boys are 19 months apart and 20 months apart. So we obviously did not follow through with that, but I wish that we had because I think it would have made a difference.
And sometimes you just can't help that.
That's true.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
How important do you believe it is to have an organization like March of Dimes?
Oh, it's so vital. You know, it's important not just because of the research that we're getting these little guys and these little girls that are in there fighting, because this research makes a huge difference. You know, if you see even 20 years ago, the chances that a premature baby had to now, it's just such a huge difference. And not just in their long-term lifestyle and their long-term goals, but even just how long they're in the NICU. You know, even if your baby isn't in danger, you want your baby home. There's nothing worse than walking out of the hospital and leaving your baby behind, even though you know they're in wonderful hands. So organizations like March of Dimes have allowed us to make those times shorter and shorter because we know how to help these little guys. We know how to train NICU-specific teams so that they are really involved in that neonatal care. And then we're also, you know, encouraging other people just to know about families that are in the NICU, especially at times around the holidays. You know, it's very hard for these parents to be at home without their little ones. So it also creates just a support system. For instance, the March of Dimes has a thing that we call bundles of love. And a couple times a year, we put together these bundles that just have, they're like little goodie baskets that we take up to the NICU, and it's for the families. So it helps them to feel supported, to know that they're not alone in this, that there are people that understand what they're going through and that are there to help them.
Bundles of love.
Bundles of love, yes. And you can donate items like socks for moms because it tends to get a little cold in there, and lotion, hand sanitizer, and then little stuffed animals for the babies, things like that. You know, most of these parents are spending hours and hours and hours in the NICU with their little one. So just little ways to remind them that they're not forgotten while they're in there.
And just thinking about that, that can also be a financial burden.
Absolutely.
For them as well.
Yes, absolutely. I was very lucky in the fact that my husband works at UF Health, which is where we had both of our boys. So our insurance covered a lot of it. But a stay in the NICU is extremely high, very, very expensive. And so for a lot of these families, that's a huge concern. And so organizations like March of Dimes has resources that they can point you to be able to help alleviate some of that burden.
As a parent, when you know that you're going to have a premature baby, how does it make you feel?
You know, it's very scary. It's a very, very scary thought. With my middle child, Christopher, he was 3 weeks, so it wasn't as scary. But with my son, Carter, when we left for the hospital, we did not think that he was coming. We thought that I was going to go and get on some kind of medication to stop the labor. But by the time we reached the downtown bridges, we realized that was no longer the case, that he was coming. And that's a very scary thought. Even if you know about the NICU, even if you've been there before, it's so much of the unknown. What is going to happen? How big is he going to be? Are his lungs going to be developed? How long is our NICU going to be? How is this going to affect him in later on in life? So I think the scariest part about the NICU is just the unknown. You just don't know how long they're going to be there, what the problems could be. Is this going to be just a few problems, or are we dealing with a lot of issues here? And especially if it's unforeseen premature birth, because you don't know what's causing it. So is there something going on that's causing you to go into early labor? That's also a pretty scary thing.
So let's say that there's a parent out there right now listening to this, a mother or a father, and you've gone through this. What do you want to tell them?
I would tell them a few things. First of all, even though it doesn't seem like it right now, try to take in what's going on. Keep a journal. Write things down. Because right now it seems like I just want to get through this. I don't want to remember this. But you will. You will want to remember the journey that your little one took. You're going to want to tell them what a fighter that they were. So take a breath and think about the things that are going on around you. Really notice it. Write things down. I liked to keep a little journal in the NICU with me. And when he did something, I would just kind of jot it down to help me remember, because it becomes very foggy. When you look back, the days really run together. And then another thing is to trust your NICU team. These are, you know, it never feels like anybody would take care of your baby like you would. But these are people that love these little guys. And they have dedicated years to the education and the service of these little guys. So trust your team. Trust that they are loving on them. Trust that they have their best interest at heart, and that they're really working to get your baby home as quickly as possible. Also, give yourself a little bit of grace. It's hard for a parent to want to step out into the hall for even 2 minutes. You don't want to leave them. But you can't be there for them if you are completely run down. Take an hour, go to the cafeteria, get a cup of coffee, have dinner, take a shower, come back, give yourself a little bit of grace. Let people help you. Let people take your other older children, if you have them, to the mall, to a park. Let people help you. And then don't think that you're alone. You're not. There are so many people that have been through this before, and nobody knows exactly your journey. So we can't say that we know exactly what you're going through, but we can help you. We can give you our experiences. Reach out to organizations like the March of Dimes. They are here to help. That's their entire purpose, is to help NICU families.
When you think about also the personnel, the doctors and the nurses in the NICU, what are some of their feelings that you got from them about how they feel about the babies that they're taking care of?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty amazing. I think most of us that have a pediatrician, you can tell that pediatricians love kids. You can just tell. But these NICU teams have It's such a sweet spirit, like all pediatricians do, but there seems to be a little bit special. They are watching out for the littlest of everyone, and they have such a calming spirit. I noticed everybody in there seems very calm. They're trying to talk to you. It seems like they're really good at trying to kind of distract you a little bit, which is actually a huge blessing, to be able to talk about something besides their weight and how many ounces they had that day. Just to have somebody talk to you for a few minutes about something else is really nice. And these teams also, you can tell when they come around and they do rounds and they're coming around and talking to you about what's going on. They enter a very calm but serious mode. You can tell that they are not joking around. They know what they're doing. They are putting forth every effort. They are looking at every possible means to get your baby home as quickly as possible.
If you could tell everyone about one resource that March of Dimes gave you that gave you the boost that you needed, what would it be?
You know, I think when I was actually in the NICU, it was just seeing even just pamphlets out that there was an organization that was dedicated only to premature babies. So it wasn't just, you know, there are so many wonderful organizations out there that are just geared towards children in general, or children that have certain things going on with them health-wise. But this was an organization that was only for premature babies and for their families, which was really special, that they were focused only on this. And then for me personally, I really love our walk every year. It's so neat to be able to see families out there, teams. I mean, people walk in teams of 20 and 30 and 50. So there are families out there, some families that have sadly lost babies in the NICU, others whose babies have grown and flourished. So it's a true community. And even if you have not personally been touched by a NICU baby or a premature baby, you can absolutely still come out and walk with us. It's a wonderful time to give support to the families that do are going through this or have gone through this. It's a great time. It's in May this year, so the weather's beautiful, and you can come out and join us. They have all kinds of activities going on. So for me, that was a really important boost to be able to see all these people that were out there as a community.
You heard her, everyone. May of 2017,
yes.
Right? All right. Mark your calendars. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Casey?
I would just love to add that if you know anybody that has been involved with the NICU or premature baby, or even if you don't, this is still just such a wonderful organization to reach out to. You know, we always hear the old adage that our children are our future, and that's true, and that includes these little guys. So it's wonderful for these families to feel the support of all of our community.
I can't wait for you to read your journal to your 6'7" son.
I know. I think it'll be really neat. And some of those things that we wrote down, I would think, I am never going to want to remember this. But you do. And now that he's home and he's flourishing and he's running around and climbing, I'm so glad that I have that to look back on. Because if I just think about it, it's just a fog of beeping lights and doctors. And I would never remember exactly what happened.
Oh, and wait till they grow up.
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Casey, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like more information about March of Dimes, check out their website, marchofdimes.org. Thanks for joining us today on Hot Topics. Next week, we're talking to the Salvation Army. This is a time of year we see lots of bell ringers. But where does your donation go? We'll answer that next week. Same time, same place. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.